And I have a message to share with you that for me in my life has been incredibly encouraging. And the way that I want to start this message is with a parable that I put together myself. So you won't find this in the Gospel of Matthew or anything like that. Just a small little analogy that is going to set us up for the rest of the talk, right? And so it starts with a guy who's getting ready for a road trip, right? And he packs his bags, he gets in the car, puts on the playlist, and he does what we all do, right? He puts in the address into the GPS, right? Darlington Church. For some reason, he's coming here for the weekend. So he puts it into the GPS, and then he hits the road, and he's going strong, right? And as you expect, the GPS starts giving him instructions. It says, get on Kwinana Freeway, Route 2. He's off to a good start, and this trip shouldn't take more than, let's say, 40 minutes, right? It's a 40-minute trip, right? As the man comes up to a left turn, the GPS tells him, go straight ahead. But he ignores the GPS, right? He's not listening to its instructions. Reroute, make a U-turn, and proceed to the church. The man chuckles at himself and says, I'm pretty sure I know where I'm going, and he ignores the GPS. For the next 30 minutes, he hears over and over, make a U-turn, turn around, do something, man, where are you going? It's a very advanced model of GPS. It speaks like that, right? And then after a while, out of frustration, the man takes the GPS and he throws it out the window, right? He gets rid of it. He says, look, obviously you don't know where you're going, and he turns off the GPS, throws out the window. And then 3 days later, still trying to get to the church, he stops in the middle of Australia in front of this massive rock, right? And then he sits there and he contemplates and he goes, okay, U-turn it is. And he finally opens himself up to correction, right? And that's my little parable. I think you can kind of gather where we're going with that one there. I like that story. It has a few points, right? It has a few major points. The first one is be open to instruction. You know, listen to instruction. And the second is be open to correction. So not only listen to the GPS, but also be open to correction when you've gone a wrong turn. The man in this story had all the tools available, right? Even when he made a mistake, the GPS was still trying to get him back on the right track. Now, this model of GPS is very patient and slow to anger and very loving, right? He thought he could do better without guidance. But the more he ignored correction, the more he steered off the right path. And then he did something real crazy, right? He took the GPS and he threw it out the window. A big mistake, not a good idea. It wasn't until he reached the place that he didn't want to be that he was finally open to correction, right? And I actually really like this story that I've just kind of put together. The reason is because, you know, it's real. Like, I've lived that story many times in my life where I've been in a position where, you know, I'm hearing correction and I'm getting guidance, and there's just that pride in me that's going, I actually think I know what I'm doing here, and I think I know how to get here. And after a while, I'm in this place where I'm like, I didn't want to be here. How did I get here? So it's a very real story, right? And that is kind of what life looks like sometimes. Like, we make mistakes. And that's good to acknowledge. We make mistakes and we go off the wrong path. But here's the thing, right? I don't want to live that story. I would rather be the person who listens to instruction and doesn't have to go to the wrong place in order to learn. I want to be the type of person who listens to instruction, is open to correction, and arrives at the right place, right? And yeah, so I want to change the story. I want to listen to the GPS, right? And yeah, so when I put this message together, I really didn't have you in mind. This really is just is for me. This is what I've been learning and the way that I've been learning to grow. And you're kind of just here to hear about it. You're just here to, you know, pick up on what I've been learning about. But I think you're also in that position, right, where you would rather be on the path of God and sticking to that path. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. And here's the wonderful thing, right, is that this is actually God's plan for us as well, that he is so for this. And there are a few scriptures in Isaiah that say, you know, I'll be the voice behind you telling you go this way or go that way. And so really, I want to just let you know that God's heart is for us to stay on the path of God, right? He's really for us. We don't have to wrestle God on this one. So this is my proposal today. Let's open up the Word of God and look at a few scriptures and talk about how can we stay on the path of God in those moments where we really would like to go off some other direction. That's my proposal. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I picked out some really helpful scriptures that have been a big deal for me. But before I do that, I really like to just pray. Because the GPS is actually the Holy Spirit, right? That's I don't know if you picked up on that. It's the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, we need his help so desperately. And without him, we are bound to go off track and end up in a place we don't want to be. So just bow your heads and let's just pray to God and invite him in. Lord, Father, I know it's our heart's desire to know you and follow you. We have a very sincere heart, Lord, to walk the path that you have laid out before us, Lord. We want to live as your children, and we want to please you in every single way. It's hard to trust you, Father, sometimes, when we can't see you. But we know that you are spirit and you live in us and that your voice is very real. And that you are communicating with us and you are holding our hand. Father, I know for myself, I don't want to go down the path that leads me away from you anymore. I want to be on the path of God. I want to hold fast to what you've laid out. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us. Please help us to change our lives. Please help us to stay with you always, Lord. I pray you just bless this message and that you would encourage us, Father. We need your help, Lord, and we call on you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, let's bring up some scripture, hey? Let me get my little remote here. Let's go. So, there's a section of scripture that I've chosen to work through. It's 8 verses, but we're going to focus on one of them, right? So I'm going to read all 8. And then I'm going to choose one, and we'll focus on that one verse, okay? And it's from Proverbs chapter 4, and I believe it's behind me. Yep. And it says this, really great stuff, guys. This is probably one of my most favorite sections in Proverbs. It just hits some really great stuff. It starts in Proverbs 4, verse 20, and we're going to go to 27, where it says, are we all there? I actually memorized this a while ago. I'm just delaying while people get to open it up. It's all good, guys. No rush. But yeah, I memorized this a while ago. And yeah, if there's one place to memorize the Bible, it's Proverbs. Just such rich stuff, hey. It's really good stuff. Proverbs, like, won't give you what you want to hear. It gives you what you need to hear. And some of it can be really confronting. It can really be, like, in your face. And it's just like, wow. I have not been living that way at all. But that's what Proverbs is there for. It's there to bring some hard stuff. And some of this can be quite hard, but man, if we grab hold of it, it's going to do some good stuff. So I'm going to start reading now. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, where it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. This scripture has amazing stuff in it. It's really talking about keeping on the right path, right? Don't step to the right or to the left. It talks about turn your ear to wisdom. Keep wisdom in your sight. Keep wisdom in your heart. Keep perversity from your mouth. Keep your eyes, fix your eyes straight ahead. Give thought to your path. And keep your feet from evil. All of this is really great material, but there's only one of those verses that I want us to narrow in and focus on for this message. And that one is where it says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's a pretty significant scripture, hey? Everything you do flows from it. So it starts with above all else. So when I hear above all else, I want to elevate this one above all the other points. Like above all else, guys, in other words, this is significant. Take note of this, right? It says first, guard your heart. And then second, everything you do flows from it. We're going to break these up and I'm going to talk about one and then we'll talk about the other. So the first one is guard your heart. So pretty clear and pretty straightforward, right? Guard your heart. We're talking about we're supposed to watch out for what we allow into our heart, right? The first half of that is make sure evil isn't coming into your heart. And the second half is make sure good is coming into your heart. So it's a matter of recognizing something as it is. It sounds easy, like that was super easy to say, right? Super easy. Wow, that's really great. But it's quite difficult to put into practice. And the reason is that we live in a very, you know, broken world. It's not looking too good out there, guys. We live in a place where it's selfish, where the world loves possessions and pride and pleasure. And so much of that world is actively trying to get into our lives and into our heart. And it can be very confusing at times. It can be confusing because the things that we consider to be blatant acts of disobedience, in the world, it's just regarded as normal. And it can be confusing at times on how to make sure you're truly not letting something evil inside. There's a requirement of wisdom and revelation. It gets even more difficult because, you know, the world is very good at taking advantage of our insecurities. You know, you've got adverts who will play on those things that you want. It's really going against you. And to add to all of this, we ourselves are on a journey of maturity. And sometimes out of our immaturity and lack of understanding, we open ourselves up to things that we shouldn't. I know that just is so true for myself, that as I've grown up in the Lord, I've been able to see things more clearly and recognize, hang on, this thing isn't good. But before I had that understanding, for me, there was nothing wrong with it. So the point I'm trying to say here is that the struggle's real. The struggle can be quite real for us to keep evil out and let good inside. Evil is persistent, and it really is quite a battlefield. And just like any other battlefield, we need a strong defense, right? So that's really my message. How do we bring a strong defense? Because just like any other battle, right, we want that strong. You don't want to go into battle with a weak defense. We're not talking about, you know, this wooden fence that goes around my grandma's house, right? We want a concrete, reinforced, unbreachable defense. That's the kind of defense I'm talking about, right? So how do we build this strong defense against the things of evil that want to get into our hearts, right? So there's a few scriptures that I want to share, And seriously, like, there have been times when I've been in that place of struggle, right? Where I'm like, man, I want to go this way, but I know I should go this way. And I'm just going, right? Back and forth. I don't want to do this, but I want to do this. You know what I'm talking about? These scriptures are the ones that I hang on to in those moments. They've been incredibly helpful to me and bringing, yeah, we'll work through in a moment. So I want to bring up the first one, which is Romans chapter 12, verse 9, where it says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So what it says here, the words that I want to focus on here is hate what is evil. You see, there's a big difference, right, between tolerating what is evil and hating what is evil. It's about attitude towards these things. And that if we're going to have a strong defense about these evil things, we can't have an attitude of tolerating it. You know, in my experience, when I've tolerated something, it's like I allow it near me and things do not end well. And I've had to learn from this scripture and the word of God that I've got to learn to hate it, right? So what does tolerating look like? It's when we have an attitude of it's not a big deal, it's not hurting anyone, everyone else is doing it, it's all good. That's not the attitude that's going to build a strong defense. The attitude we need to have is to despise it. We need to have an actual attitude where we find it repulsive, where we want nothing to do with it. We don't want to associate with it whatsoever. Unless you really have that attitude, you're going to be okay with it being around you. And it's just going to creep on you, and it's going to grow and grow until you finally get whacked out by it. That's just been my experience. And I'm going to assume it's also been yours, right? So this is not the path of life. And it's also not the popular way of life, right? If you start not tolerating these things and start hating it, well, you might become quite unpopular. But you have to be okay with that, because this is the pathway that leads to a full life in God. We've got to learn, guys, to hate what is evil and have an attitude to despise it. So it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, love what is good. So there's an attitude there. All right, I want to move to the next scripture that I have found to be incredibly useful. And it's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where it says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see how Proverbs will give you, like, not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear? It just says some really hard stuff sometimes, hey. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, so the fear of the Lord is an interesting phrase. I'm not sure how much you've been talking about here at church. I know Cal's got, he understands that, so I don't feel the need to do a whole sermon on the fear of the Lord. But I want to touch on it a little bit. And you know, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to be scared of God? Well, if you've been saved and you've called on the Lord as your Savior and you've welcomed into your heart, you have no reason whatsoever to be scared of God, right? The fear of the Lord is not to be scared of God. So what does it mean then? Well, I want to give you two definitions of how I understand it. And the first definition is to be not scared of God, but to be scared to be separate from God, right? The fear of the Lord is to want to be near Him. And the way that I see this playing out in my life is knowing that God, my Father, He wants an intimate relationship with me, one where I'm walking through life holding His hand, where I can hear His voice. And when I'm in that place of being tempted to go my own way, what really holds me to the path of God is knowing that my sin will get in the way of my relationship with God. So I'm attaching consequences to this act of disobedience. See, if I'm faced with something, some temptation, and I'm thinking, you know, let's just go for it, let's give in, let's drop to that place where I'm not supposed to be, knowing that it's going to impact my relationship with God goes, hang on, absolutely not. I will not compromise on my relationship with the Father. I love Him so much. And for me, that's the first half of my understanding of the fear of the Lord, is to be afraid to be separate from Him. I'm not going to allow this thing into my life if it draws me away from Him. I want to be close to Him. I love Him more than this other thing that's trying to pull me away. I want to bring to the second definition of the fear of the Lord, to my understanding. And this one here is to, the fear of the Lord is to hold Him in His rightful place as King in my life. You know, it's true. He is our Savior. He is the one who has freely welcomed us into His kingdom, and He calls us His children. He's a loving dad, and it's really important that we know that. But we've also got to recognize that He is the King of that kingdom. And the fear of the Lord is to hold Him in His rightful place and acknowledge that I am a citizen of His kingdom. And it's my role as a child of God to submit to His rule and authority. That if the King has said that this is wrong, then as a citizen of that kingdom, I need to acknowledge and obey. That's the second half of my understanding of the fear of the Lord. And I actually think that's really exciting, right? Because it really impacts the way that I view worship. You see, I can glorify God by holding Him in His rightful place. So my acts of obedience glorify Him and lift Him up in my heart. And it's just things like this, guys, that have really been helping me build a strong defense against the things that I would otherwise open my heart up to. Yeah. So acknowledging His place of authority in my life helps me keep evil on the outside. And like the most beautiful thing about this that gets me excited is like I know that what I'm preaching right now is actually helpful. Like it's really helped me in my own personal life. Like I've been in situations where this has actually worked. And that just is exciting to me. You know, I acknowledge that it's hard to make these changes. You know, I'm on a journey of growth every single day. And I'm continually being confronted with new stuff. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I know that these changes are really tough. And it does take time. And it does take real effort. But I also know the reward. I know the outcome. And it is so worth it. Yeah. All right. So, will we make mistakes? Well, we know we don't have to, but we know that we might. And what we need to remember is that we learn from these mistakes. You know, there are times when we intentionally open the door when we know way better. And that's just kind of how things are, right? We know we don't have to, but that's reality. We sometimes make mistakes. Let's learn from them is my point. Let's learn from the experience, know that God loves you, that you're a child, that you're forgiven, His blood's covered you, and you're in a process of growth and maturity, right? So what I'm talking about, I feel like it's really important, right? Because, you know, there's a lot on the line resting on this. And my heart behind this message is just being way too familiar with the consequences of sin. Like, I know what it takes. You know, sin will always bring grief, pain, and sorrow, right? Evil always steals, kills, and destroys. I know what it's like. That's why I get passionate about building a good defense. It gets in the way of our relationship with one another. It gets in our relationship with God. It's nasty. There's nothing good about it. It doesn't produce life. it produces death. There's one scripture that for me is quite sobering, but also really encouraging as well. It's Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where it says this: sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Wow. Sin is crouching at the door of your heart. It desires to have you, even as a righteous child of God, as someone who's become a new creation, who's covered in the blood, who stands before the Lord. Sin is still crouching at the door. It's still trying to get into my life. It still wants to rule over me. But this scripture says that we must not allow that, that we must rule over it. And the thing is, right, with God's grace and with the truth that comes from the gospel and just growing up in Him and listening to the Holy Spirit, that can absolutely be our reality. God's actually called us to rule over sin, that we're not like going through this life constantly being beaten down and ruled by it, waiting for heaven. We can grow and we can get in a place of maturity where we're living this out, right? So we have discussed how to guard your heart, right? And how to build a good defense. However, there's one more thing that I want to touch on. There's one more thing that for me, has been really impactful. And I believe that if you really grab onto this one, it will help you in ways that you can't even imagine, right? And that one is, you need a strong circle of good influences. You need to surround yourself with good people. I want to encourage you guys to be careful who you allow into your circle. You know, scripture says that bad company corrupts good character. You know, you need to be around people who are on this path themselves so that they can encourage you and build you up, who can show you how you are going and can show you the way to go. People that you can be real with if you're struggling, people you can talk to, and people who you will allow to speak into your life and go, brother or sister, this isn't the way to life. You need people in your life who can speak that way to you. I'm not talking about like, you know, once a week small group relationships. I mean deep relationships where you can talk to them each day and have real fellowship with them, guys. It's really important that we surround ourselves with people who are going the right direction. Okay, so there's the first half, which is guard your heart. Now I want to talk about the second half, where it says everything you do flows from it. Again, this is pretty straightforward point, right? Everything you do in life springs from your heart. This isn't a new concept, and the Bible speaks about this quite often. I remember Jesus said, out of the heart man speaks, that a man brings good things out of the goodness stored in his heart. But there's one actual section of scripture that I want to focus on. And by the way, all of this is super clear. I'm super grateful for how scripture does that. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 and 18, where it says this: likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Right, real simple, right? A good tree will always produce good fruit, right? A bad tree will always produce bad fruit. Is it possible for a good tree to produce bad fruit? No, it's not. Is it possible for a bad tree to produce good fruit? No. I know that I repeated myself over and over just then, but it's good that I did that because we need to understand this. It's a significant point, right? We need to grasp this idea. The state of your heart will determine what comes out of your life. We need to know that and we need to understand that. If you have an unhealthy heart that is filled up with garbage, then you can expect that garbage will be flowing out of your heart. The same is in reverse, right? If you have good things stored up in your heart, then you can 100% expect good things to flow out. So if you want to have good things coming out of your heart, make sure the good's coming in and the bad's not. So the way you change your life is by changing your heart. That's a pretty significant statement. I'm going to say it again. The way you change your life is by changing your heart. This is crucial, so please, let's stick onto this truth. Notice what it says here in verse 18, right? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Do not be deceived. We reap what we sow. If you sow to please the flesh, from the flesh you will reap destruction. That is just a fact. It is just an equation. You can't escape it, right? But if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap the fruits of the Spirit. It's impossible for goodness to come out of your life if you are actively putting evil into it. You'd have to be, like Scripture says, you'd have to be foolish to think otherwise, that you can allow darkness into your heart and expect light to come out. It just simply does not work that way. We cannot escape that equation. You reap what you sow. All right. I know that this can be quite uncomfortable and quite confronting, but I've built up and I've already established my heart is to see you walk down the path of life. It's not one of those messages that is done with, you know, disco lights and, you know, background dancing music. It's quite sobering to think about that. But we need sobering messages like this. We need to understand this truth. I'm nearly at the end of my message. But I just want to list out a few things in Galatians chapter 5 of what bad fruit looks like. And I also acknowledge that I'm starting to sound a little bit preachy, okay? I get it. I know. I'm with you. And just be patient with me. I don't like being preachy, but it's good for us every now and then just to list out the things that are bad fruit. You know, to be reminded of it, you know? So what is bad fruit? Sexual immorality. Impurity, depravity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, disharmony, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, disagreement, divisions, envy, and drunkenness. I don't want anything in my life to look like that. I really don't. I want my life to be so far removed from these things. And Scripture's telling me that I have an opportunity to make that my reality. And the way that I do it is make sure that good things are going into my heart. And if I do that, I will be far from these things. But if I don't do that, then these will be the things that come out of my heart. Right? The wonderful news, right, is that the opposite is also true. In Matthew 12:33, it says this: make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Be encouraged by this, guys. If we work with the Lord, and we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and we open ourselves to truth, then we can expect that our hearts will be good and we will produce good fruit. It takes time and takes effort, but eventually you will see good fruit coming out of your heart. You won't be trying. It won't be a fake show. It will be genuine. It will be real. You might even surprise yourself about the stuff that comes out. So we discussed the bad fruit. I think it's fair that we also discuss the good fruit. So these are the things that will come out of our lives. These are all from Galatians chapter 5, of good fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Mercy. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Compassion. Humility. Forgiveness. These are the kind of things that I want coming out of my life. All right. So the question I want to ask you to think about for yourself and just ponder on is, are you happy with the fruit coming out of your life? If it's yes, then keep doing what you're doing, right? If the answer is no, I want to encourage you to get real with God and really start narrowing your heart and focusing your heart on His truth. One thing I haven't mentioned right now, up until this point, is that when we talk about letting the good in, what we're actually talking about is letting truth in. Let the truth in God come into your heart. That's what makes good fruit, is the truth that comes into your heart, who shows you who you already are, and it shows you how to live it out. That's the thing that will make a tree good, is seeing clearly. And what the truth is that you're righteous, you're loved, you're a child of God. That's the kind of things that will establish right things in your heart. So just to recap, guys, learn to hate what is evil. Fear the Lord by being afraid of being separate from Him and by holding Him in His right position. Develop a strong community of believers who will help you grow. And I've got one last scripture that I want to share. So before I talked about how sin's crouching at the door, well, there's also someone else crouching at the door. You might know what verse I'm about to go to. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where it says this. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So let's just open our hearts and let God in and make sure that sin doesn't rule over us. And then we're going to have a really good time. All right, so there it is, guys. That's my message. I'm going to close in prayer. I hope that's been encouraging and refreshing. I wanted to keep it quite close so that you can, you know, go and celebrate Mother's Day and just love on your mothers and, yeah, and be loved by your kids as well, you know. That's good stuff, hey. All right, just bow your heads and I'll close in prayer and I'll hand over. Lord, I just thank you so much for the gospel message. It can be challenging and confronting at times, Lord, but I know your heart and you want to see me thrive and you've made me for the purpose of producing the fruits of the Spirit. That is what I am here for, Lord. It's written down in your word all over the place. I want to pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit and through the word of God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding to recognize what is good and what is bad. I ask, Father, that you would teach us to hate sin, Lord, to really help us have an attitude of despising it and to instead have a heart that just loves you and wants to glorify you in all that we do. I want to choose you each day, Father. I want to grow up and I want to be strong in the Spirit. I want to pray, Father, also, that you would help us to find good Christian friends, people that will encourage us. I ask, Lord God, that you'd bring them into our lives. You know, we need good Christian friends, Father, and that can be so hard to do sometimes, Lord. But I know that you're able to do that, and you're for us, not against us. And yeah, I just ask, Father, please help us have strong, good friendships with people. who are Christians. We love you and we praise you. And in your name I pray, amen. Thanks, guys. Lovely to be here again. And yeah, cheers. Thank you.